Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Tomorrow is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. It's named after Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Despite us being described in this picture as the sheep, which is not often a term used to flatter anyone, especially an adult, nevertheless, I think most of us do find this picture to be a comforting one. Jesus is the one who died and rose again, claims us to be his sheep. He, our shepherd. That picture comforts us. It makes us feel secure. It is, after all, why we name churches Good Shepherd. And it may be odd to hear then that the very next verse in John chapter 10, after Jesus is done with explaining himself to be the Good Shepherd, the very next verse is the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Now that is probably not what you were expecting, but there it is. And why is there this disparity? We find it comforting. They want to stone him. Obviously, the disparity is because it has to do with the identity of the Good Shepherd. Jesus makes a claim that he is the Good Shepherd, and the other hearers around claim that he is not the Good Shepherd, and that they themselves are not of his flock. And when you add to that our reading from Acts chapter 20 today, this image that Paul gives about the flock that he administered to when he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That is not exactly a cheery message either. So again, what is going on here? Is the picture that we have when we think in our minds of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and us as his fluffy little lambs, is that picture in our heads a little too neat and tidy for reality? The answer is both yes and no. And no, because Jesus does intend these words to comfort us. Toward the end of our reading tonight, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That is meant to comfort the hearers. And Jesus continues, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So Jesus says, those who hear his voice are his sheep. And when we are his sheep, this makes us at the same time sheep of the Heavenly Father. And so Jesus says, and he says this to reassure us, we are set. And the rhetorical question kind of going on beyond this statement is, who could possibly steal or snatch something out of God's hand? And the clear answer is no one. No one can steal from God. No one could snatch something out of God's hand. But as we asked earlier, is that too simple? No, not in this sense. No one can steal from God. He is greater than all. That much is true. And Jesus, as Paul reminds the Ephesian elders, is the one who obtained his flock with his own blood. But both Jesus in the Gospels and Paul in Acts, and chapter 20 especially, says that there is a broader picture to understand. There are other things out there. There are other sheep. There are other folds. There are other people. And there are wolves. There are false prophets, false preachers, false teachers. And what they do is use twisted words in an attempt to draw away disciples after them. And note, both Jesus and Paul talk about shepherds and sheep, and their interaction has to do with the words that are spoken. Jesus says his sheep hear his voice. Paul says, as he is wrapping up with the Ephesian elders, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Words for both of them are very important. Words, speech to us, often does not sound that important. But for a second, let's go back and remember way back at the beginning of the Lenten season. Remember back when Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the desert. There, the devil tempts Jesus firstly by asking him to turn a stone into a loaf of bread. And I want you to remember especially how Jesus takes that temptation, because he does not take that temptation as a simple question about hunger. When Jesus responds, he says, this is rather about life and where it comes from. Jesus' response to Satan is, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live by God's word, not by bread alone, not by meat, not by vegetables or any of that kind of stuff. We live by God's word. And the temptation there is the temptation that we face all of the time in our world. The world loves to try and create areas and places. It says, you can leave God's word behind here, in this place. The workplace, the sphere of politics, the public schools and colleges. One of the most damaging things that these places do is not only from baldly confronting us with the theory of evolution or LGBT doctrine or greed or those kind of things. All of those are bad. All of those have done a lot of damage. But the subtle move beneath all of those things is simply this: the temptation to leave God's word out of it. Leave it behind when you come to these places. And even if they don't confront you with other things, the lie is that you can look around in those places and see everyone is supposedly getting along fine without the word of God. In fact, the temptation goes, life could be easier for you when you live this way. No confrontations, no debates about what you believe, no arguments with others about right and wrong and about determining what the scripture says about how we should live. Just, this is not the place for that kind of stuff. And after enough time spent in those environments, you can look around and think to yourself, well, everything does seem to be going pretty much okay without God's word. And if someone wants to add God's word to their life, well, that's fine for them to do. But you'd also note that that's an addition that several people seem to be getting along fine without. Maybe I don't need it either. But the church cannot live that way. God's word is not an addition to our lives. Our life comes from the word of God. It is our source of life. The life we have is the life of Jesus Christ given to us. Earlier on in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laying down and giving us his own life, that is where we get our lives. That is where we get eternal life. And that life comes to us through his word. The world will say, look around. Other people are living life. Other people are getting married. Other people are having joys and sorrows in their life, just like you are. And they don't need the word. Likewise, in our gospel reading, Jesus says that he is a good shepherd, and many of the listeners deny that and reject that notion. They would say, we didn't need you as our shepherd before we met you. We won't need you as our shepherd after you leave. And they plan on making him leave by stoning him. They disagree with him so much. The temptation that they face and that we still face today is this, that you don't need Jesus as your shepherd. Grow up. Look around. People are living without Jesus. People are living without his word. And who are you to say otherwise? But as Pastor Walther preached last week, we need to hold the words of the world up to the scriptures and see if they square. Can we live without God's word? No. Clearly not living life to the fullest in the way that the scriptures mean it. Jesus tells the devil that point blank when he is tempted. Real harm is done when people buy into this lie that they do not need God's word, that they do not need Jesus as their shepherd. And harm is done because he is the only source of eternal life. Eternal life comes from nowhere else. And so back to our question, is our picture of Jesus as our shepherd and we as his sheep, is that too simple? Yes, it can be if your picture is a life without a shepherd. But it is not if the picture is you as his sheep, Jesus as your shepherd. He gives us eternal life. We follow him, and we will never perish. No one can snatch us from his hand. Those are the words of Jesus. This does not mean that our life here will be easy. Life in the fallen world is not easy. The world did hate Jesus. It did kill him. It will hate his word still today. But his word gives life. You will never perish. Amen.